pastor has brought me to speak on marriage, relationship, and sex. I'm not just anointed to speak on that. I've also experienced it. Marriage is sweet, depending on the cutlery you use to eat it. And I want you to know that as we finish this sharing today, your life will never ever remain the same in the name of Jesus. Marriage is many things to many people. To some people, marriage is a necessary evil. It's just necessary. It's evil, but it's just necessary. Let's just go ahead and do it. To some other people, it's a mere social contract to be run and guided by traditions and superstitious beliefs. To some people, that's what marriage is. To some people, it's an organized forum for childbearing and rearing. It's not good for us to just be having picking everywhere. So let's organize something. Let's have an organized forum. You and me, let's get married. That's what it is to some people. As I look at the African culture, I can conclusively say that there is no marriage in the African culture. Because in the African culture, the woman is just like a glorified slave. She's to be seen and not heard. That is even when she's seen. That's why in the olden days, you will see our forefathers, they'll go to the market, to the farm, with so many wives. Some of them had 19. Some had 4. The more wives, the better for you. And they will all go to the farm, work and labor. And by the time they are returning, you will see these wives carry all sorts of loads, banana, plantain, yam, firewood, and all that. And what will the man carry? Just one useless cutlass, with which he will be driving away imaginary flies and greeting people that do not require his greeting. And when they get home, you will see him sit in front of a transistor radio, listening to the news with a keg of palm wine and maybe tobacco in his mouth, while the woman goes to the kitchen to cook with heavy pregnancy and what have you. In the African culture, there's no marriage. The woman is a slave. She's like the property. She's like any of the properties. You kick her out when you are tired of her. Oh, God bless her heart. Even she has only girls for you. You call her Abigail. Forgetting that if you don't have a baby girl, you never finish giving birth to Pekin. You need to go back to the boardroom. Or you trust God to give your sons correct wives. A baby girl is a gift of God. A proper gift of God. So we see that in the African culture, there is not marriage. There's no marriage. There's none. Even in the Western world, there is no marriage. It's a business. For better, for stay. For worse, for live. Don't be deceived by what you watch on TV and you see them presenting the bouquet and all that. Many of them are in their seventh marriages. Seventh marriage, some in the fourth and all that. Marriage is neither African nor Western. Marriage is biblical. It was God that ordained marriage. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, it is not good for man to be alone. God said it. God originated it. Marriage is God's idea. Number 2, marriage is a gift from God to humanity. God gave it as a gift. And when you receive a gift, you receive it with thanksgiving and then you begin to unravel it. So marriage is a gift of God and it's a gift from God to humanity. Marriage is also a mystery. It's a mystery. In the book of Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 30, 18 and 19. There be 3 things which are too wonderful for me, yea, 4 which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a sheep in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. The way of a man with a maid. 2 strangers, quote and unquote, suddenly meet. And then they start dating. They begin a courtship. And before you know it, they are in the marriage relationship. And they eliminate every other person. They don't want to see nobody. They're just together, everywhere, everywhere. It's a mystery that has to be unraveled. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, verse 31. And they two shall be one flesh. 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife said that she reverences her husband. If marriage is a mystery, then it has to be unraveled. Marriage is a ministry, it has to be fulfilled. Marriage is a divine calling. don't want to go into... How many of you are married here? Let me know my audience. Wow. Okay. So I need to spend some time, okay, with those of you that are still maybe in courtship or you're believing God. As we look at marriage, we look at relationship, and we look at sex. Marriage, like I said, is a mystery that has to be unraveled. But I discovered that many people go into marriage for very wrong reasons. Some people go into marriage because they are old enough. Some go into marriage because they think people will talk if I don't do it. Some go into marriage because of family pressure. Let me just get into it. Some go into marriage out of sympathy. That girl has been, I don't know how to tell her that I'm not convinced again. Let me just go. Some go into marriage for various wrong reasons. And they end up in trouble. Marriage is not a weekend affair. It is a lifetime institution. So you cannot afford to go into marriage anyhow. They say love is blind. I beg to disagree. And in case I even agree, can I say that love may be blind, but marriage is the eye opener. So before you go into marriage, close one eye in prayer. Open the other one in watching. Look very well before you jump into it, because you can't jump out. It is like, you know, the masquerade and the masquerader. The masquerade is that garment that they put on. The masquerader is the man behind it. When the masquerader puts on the masquerade and he's moving in the sun, for instance, and he farts, poof, he cannot remove the masquerade and say, I need fresh air. No. So in my village, they say, "Iso inu eku amomorani." He has to endure it. All he can do is, oh God, let fresh air come, you know. That is marriage. You are the masquerader. Marriage is a masquerade. Many times your spouse will fart. You can't say, "I'm checking out." You have to run mora. And bear and believe God. Praise the Lord. So please don't get married because you are old enough or because of family pressure or because of beauty or because you think the man has some, you know, material possessions. Please don't. Marriage is the highest level of friendship on earth. And like we say every time, it is a relationship between two forgivers. The place where your Christianity will be tried most is in the institution of marriage. You will shift the gear from patience to endurance. From endurance to long suffering. That is marriage for you. So if you are not ready, you better don't go into marriage. And before you go into marriage, you need to be mature in at least these areas. Number one is spiritual maturity. You don't just give your life to Jesus and the next thing now is marriage. Yes, you can start praying about your marriage. That's okay. But marriage is not for spiritual babes. Because sometimes marriage can be a battlefield. Spiritual warfare is very real. You will need the strength on the inside to carry the weight on the outside. At least a minimum of 14 kinds of storms blow against every marriage. So you must be battle ready. You must make up your mind that you will develop your strength on the inside. Not that you hardly have your quiet time. Who is the father of Abraham? Or who is the father of Judas? You are thinking, is it Jeremiah or Zephaniah? You don't even know nothing. You can't quote a scripture. You can't pray. You can't speak in tongues. And you want to go into the institution of marriage, it won't work. So spiritual maturity is very, very important. Develop your spiritual muscles. Develop it. So that when you go get into the institution of marriage, it will help you. Number two, you must be physically mature. Age 12, you shouldn't be thinking about marriage. Not even age 18. Get your jam and graduate. You must be physically mature. It's not that your wife or your husband is introducing you and we are looking for you. Where is he? You're so short, we can't even find you because you're a little boy. Marriage is not for boys and girls. It's for mature men and women. There are things that your heart cannot handle. And if your heart cannot manage it, your hand cannot touch it. So it's important for you to be physically mature. It's also important, number three, to be financially mature. I'm not saying you should have 1 billion naira or 3 billion naira in the account. Not at all. But excuse me, I'm not being materialistic. I'm only being realistic. You need a stable source of income before you go into marriage, particularly as a man. As a man, you cannot be faith in this. There's a difference between faith and foolishness. You can't feed yourself. You have only two trousers and two shirts. You're thinking about marriage. You can't feed yourself. You can't pay your school fee. Your house allowance. Your house rents. Now you want to bring in a lady. 9-10 months time, she's pregnant. Will you go to the supermarket to go and claim cow and gate and nan? And don't expect Kirikiri to claim you. So it's important for you to be financially mature. You need a stable source of income. And please, I understand that we live in a country where the government, in fact, anywhere in the world, no government can adequately take care of everything. So you've got to create. My husband and I are in full-time ministry, but we are also in full-time business. Because I want to wear what I like. I want to drive what I like without anybody thinking that it's church money. So you must be creative. Think of what you can do. Who says you can't sell tomatoes? There's one young man that comes up to my house. All he does is fill the gas cylinder. He knows when it is done, and then he goes. From there, he makes his money. He's a graduate. You can't sit at home and be thinking, oh, I need a job. Create one. Create. Walk up to people and tell them, can I clean your house? And all you need to do is mobilize some people. Found their company. Start something. Saturday mornings, you go to their houses. 2 hours. You have brought people, school start holders or whatever. You clean the houses. You change the blind. You do this and that. You collect your money and you're gone. You need a regular source of income. If you still live in your father's boys' quarters, you are not a candidate for marriage. If your mother still gives you pocket money, don't even bother about marriage. A woman is very, very expensive to maintain. And in fact, I just quoted my husband. He said, women, you are so expensive. It's true. It's not our fault. Every woman was created and wired to look up. So if there is nothing to look up, she misses it. That's why you see women sleep with their drivers, sleep with their house helps. These are the people that give them what they need. It's not just about money. Are you a leader? Are you someone that the wife can look up to? Can you provide answers for me? I like what Michelle Obama said. Only very secure men can marry strong women like me. Some of you think it is Obama that is strong. Michelle, she's a barista. If you see that woman's CV, you will carry for her. I'm telling you. She's good. And I want to challenge all of you that are ladies here. Hear me and hear me well. If the totality of your life as a married woman depends on your husband, particularly financially, you have not started living. You are a colossal misfit, a disgrace to womanhood. If until your husband comes, you cannot buy nothing, you can't even give an offering, you can't buy bra, you can't buy tomatoes. Women have moved. Gone are the days when until a man drops money, we can't cook. Women have left that class. If you are still in that class, you are the only one remaining. These days, whether they leave money or they don't drop money, we cook. They come home, they meet the food. Although we can use time to collect the money back. But at least there is no, if you don't give me money today, you're not going anywhere. That was then. Men no longer want to marry liabilities. When I was a single lady, you will hear things like, don't buy a car, no man will marry you. Don't let them, even if you have money, hide it, they won't marry you. These days, men are looking for car owners to marry. He doesn't have a car, but he wants his wife to have. And he'll take the car, he'll drop the lady off at work and drive as if that car is his. No man wants to marry a liability anymore. So as a woman, you've got to invest into yourself. It's important. Don't just depend on what the man gives. you must be able to contribute something. That's what we call my own. May God give it to you. Amen. So back to my point, you need a stable source of income. Also, you must be mature emotionally. You don't cry as a man at everything. Every minute, any little thing, you are crying. And you call yourself a man. After marriage, your wife too cries. Women cry a lot. We're emotional beings. And you don't tell your wife, I don't like these crocodile tears. You have finished her. You don't say that to a woman. So, if you are always crying, and your wife is also crying, hey, by the time you have a baby, so you have a family of tongue criers. So you must be stable. My husband says, a man is someone that stands and people run to, not someone that runs with people. So you must be a man, emotionally. I know men cry, but there's a way you carry yourself as a man. And the woman knows that I can put my life in his hand. Can I say this, that you don't have to intimidate anybody because you want to propose marriage? When I was single, and I'm telling the truth, 13 brothers proposed marriage to me as a Christian. My husband was the 14th man to ask for my hand in marriage. As a Christian, I didn't count on believers, as a believer. Everybody wanted to marry. I was the most active sister in our church. So they wanted a Jim sister, quote and unquote. My husband was the 14th. I remember one brother came. And as he entered the house that day, I was living with my uncle. I was preparing Amala. He said, Sister Funke, pray. I said, what is it, sir? Pray, just say hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I was dead. I told the Lord that if you are my wife, when I get to your house, you should be preparing Amala. My husband calls him 419. Don't intimidate any sister because you want her to marry you. Don't come to a sister and say, when I was praying at 3 o'clock in the night, the Lord said, I saw a vision. You are lying. You didn't see any. You don't need any vision. You don't need any vision to propose to. I remember I heard someone came to me for counsel. Federal University of Technology, Akure. This brother carried one big text Bible under his armpit and came to the sister. Woe betide you if you don't marry me. The Bible says, our Father who art in heaven, not just my Father. I also hear from God. So don't let any brother intimidate you in the name of I heard from God. You must also hear from God because it's your life. It determines everything. When you miss it in the area of marriage, 90-something% of your life is gone. I'm telling you, better stay single than marry the wrong person. So you must look before you get married. And God speaks in various ways to people. God can use his word to speak till tomorrow. I've not had one single revelation about my husband. Go and marry him or don't marry him. And we've been married 31 years. Happily married. Even the devil knows I am happily married. So don't wait till you have a revelation. Don't wait till I saw an angel. Angel Fatai, your court, you know, he just appeared and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I am Angel Sikira." No. You don't need that. Don't let anybody confuse you. It is not necessary. Praise the Lord. God can speak through his word. God can speak through prophecy. God can speak through anybody. But please, ultimately, whatever medium God uses to speak to you, his word is important. God can never tell you to go and marry one Alhaji as a believer. God cannot tell you to go and be the second wife or the third wife somewhere. Whatever does not agree with the word of God is not of God. Praise the Lord. So please take note of that. It is very, very important. If you want to go and propose marriage to a sister, Honor the sister. Respect her. Don't talk to her anyhow. And if a brother comes to propose to you, don't just say, I've been waiting, oh, we thank the Lord. Hey, what I love, Michel. No. Keep your dignity as a woman. Tell him, let me pray about it. Even if it is to say, come back tomorrow or come back in 3 hours' time. It preserves your dignity as a woman. Now you are in courtship. When you agree to marry yourself, the first thing you should do, locate an altar. Get to a place where both of you can kneel down to pray and hand over your lives to the Lord. It's a journey you've never been through. It's a journey you have no idea what lies ahead. Commit yourself to the Lord. In case you can't find an altar that you believe in, at least wherever you are, find a private place, kneel down, pray. Let the sister pray and then let the brother pray. Commit yourselves unto the hands of the Lord. And also it's important for you to share about your past. I'm not saying you should begin to give details. Mo legon okito born again. Mo guru. I was just all around. No. That's bad. That's not what I'm saying. But don't keep, there are certain information that you should share. It's important. And can I say this? Who says that as a young man, you should not be married as a virgin? Don't tell me that there's nothing to measure it. What about the big boss upstairs? Is he not watching? There's dignity in virginity. It gives you honor, whether you're a man or you're a woman. Preserve your dignity. And even if you lost your virginity before you got saved, don't keep on losing it. Stop sleeping around. Choose to dignify Jehovah with your life. It is very, very rewarding. When both of you have come together, please, always pray together. Be friends. So that's why it's important for you to marry your friend. Marry someone you will be able to share with. Someone you can talk. Don't marry someone that is 25 years older than you are. The generational gap will disturb you, hinder communication. One lady walked up to me one day and said, excuse me, I want you to pray with me. Beautiful lady. And I said, what's your problem? She removed her scarf. And I noticed that half of her hair, you know, was cut. I said, what happened? She said, while I was sleeping, somebody cut it. I said, where was your husband? You just had a baby 3 days ago. She said, we don't sleep in the same room. How old are you? She said, I'm 27. How old is your husband? 67. The man had other wives. She said, my father gave me to him as a gift. I said, I don't scatter marriages, but this one, I'll help you scatter it. Your father is close to the grave. He has lived his life. He's now helping you to live your life. What rubbish is that? I said, it is your hair they cut now. They will soon cut your head if you remain in that marriage. So please don't marry because you think the man is rich. It's your life we're talking about here. It is important. When both of you now come together, share, pray together, you know, and all that, plan about your future. How many children do you want to have? Do you believe in family planning? Do you believe in common purse and all that? Relationship requires explanation. Don't just marry anyhow. Discuss. My husband and I decided and we agreed that there will be transparent honesty in our relationship. There's nothing I can't tell him. There's nothing he cannot tell me. Marry your friend. It is important. Now, when you are in courtship, please carry your pastor along. You inform your pastor before you even propose. This is why. One brother came to me one day and said, excuse me, ma, God spoke to me about sister so-and-so. I said, who? He mentioned the name. That sister was getting married in 2 weeks' time. How can God speak to you about the brother sister that is getting married next week? To avoid confusion, this is important. Pastor, this is what is, you know, is coming to my mind. Sometimes what your pastor will see sitting down, you can't see even if you climb the sycamore tree. So it's important for you to carry your pastor along, your spiritual parent. Let him or her know this is what I'm feeling. Can you pray along? And if you have peace about it, please let me know. Except you don't believe in that pastor. If you believe in that pastor, it's important for you to carry the person along. Also, don't elope with anybody. Carry your parents along, your biological parents. Don't say, my parents are evil. They are not born again. It doesn't matter. God instructs us to honor them, to respect them. Carry them along. At least make sure you inform them. Praise the Lord. I can go on and on and on. It's important for you when you plan your wedding. Make sure you delegate. Make sure you put God at the center of everything. And book everything on time, your honeymoon, and pray. What is not good needs prayer, but it's what is good that needs more prayer. Praise the Lord. I want to skip and quickly, because we also have married people here. Those of you that are married, I don't want to say, oh, she came and she spoke only to the singles. I want to tell the married women, let me start with the men. The men, fivefold ministry of a married man. The fivefold ministry of a married man. Number one, protect. It is your responsibility to protect. It is your responsibility to protect. Have you ever asked yourself on the wedding day? Do you notice that on the wedding day, you hear something like, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? You take the bride's hand, you give it to the man of God. You give it to the man of God. It is the man of God that hands over. Have you noticed? And what? That is very prophetic. The man, the father is saying, I've taken care of this girl for 20 something years, for whatever number of years. Lord, now I hand her over to you via your representative to give to this man. So it's a huge trust. And do you notice also that the woman is usually on his left? Do you notice? He's usually on the left. So he holds the wife with the left hand, which is very close, according to science, to where the heart is. But you notice that this right hand is free. Free to defend, to deal with intruders, in-laws. Ready to defend. One school starts wounded junior brother comes in with 3.5 credits. Yoruba language. Photography. Physical education. And CRK. And then the boy says, it's my brother's house. I want to change the channel. It's African magic. I want to wash. That is why this hand is there. You talk to my wife? Or you leave this house? That is a man. It is your ministry as a man to protect. Praise the Lord. Second ministry, you provide. The second ministry, you provide. And I said that when I was talking about the singles. You know, you provide. Your wife looks up unto you. Every time your wife is asking for $2,000, you are scratching your head and looking for $20. Her anointing will turn to annoyance. I'm telling you, no matter how anointed she is, you travel, you cannot even buy some. Even if you can't buy Ferragamo bag, buy something else. Let your wife look forward to your homecoming. Let her feel good. Not that we look at everything there's, or you buy Gucci, or you buy Louis Vuitton, you know. I'm promoting the women, you know. At least some men are too stingy. I, me, myself. That's not a good life. It is the trinity of the devil. So you must provide as a man. That is why we tell you, know the number of children you will have, so that your children can have correct education. It's becoming so expensive now to train children. My last born is 25. When I was having my babies, baby milk was 1.50 naira. You can't compare that to now. In fact, these days I say, if I'm going to join anybody, I'm going to ask, how many kids are you going to have? Don't have more than 3, maximum 2. By divine mistake, 3. Because it's not enough to bear children, you must rear them. Number 3, prefer. Fivefold ministry of the married man. Prefer your wife. You see some men, they will finish all the meat, not even remembering their wife. I used to have a cousin. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He said anytime the wife sad food, he'll be calculating, how will I cheat? You know, that's not right. There are small husbands and there are great husbands. According to the book of Esther chapter 1, great husbands and small husbands. The family has a new car now. You give the old rickety car to your wife. She must pray in tongues before she starts the car every morning while you drive the new one. Like small husband. So, give your wife the best every time. Prefer your wife. Let people know that you don't joke with your wife. Did you hear what Pastor E. Adeboye said recently at a minister's conference in London? He said, you can do anything to me. Pastor E. Adeboye, you can talk to me. You can be rude to me, but if you touch my wife, he was going to curse, then he stopped. That's a man. Some men, armed robbers will come, they'll push their wives out and run to the ceiling. Prefer. Number four, prevent. It's your ministry to prevent certain things from happening to your wife. Prevent. I don't have the time to analyze all this, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't let her suffer. Don't let her see corruption. Prevent certain things. It's an embarrassment for the sheriff, the bailiff, the police people to come to the house and drag your wife and children out. It's a sin for your children to be locked inside the toilet because they couldn't pay the school fees. Prevent many things. And the last one, permit. Till I see Jesus, I'm going to be celebrating my husband for allowing me to give expression to God's grace on my life. Permit your wife. Any man that does not allow his wife to shine is a coward. He's very close to the grave. Let your wife shine. Don't eat her up. Don't let your wife die under your shadow. Encourage her. When the ministry first started 27 years ago, my husband taught me how to preach. Now he doesn't need to do it. He will give me the points. When you get there, this is what you should say. This is this, this is that. I celebrate him today. So nobody brought it from heaven. My wife doesn't know how to do it. She doesn't understand business. She doesn't teach her. You too, you didn't bring it from heaven. Teach her. Permit your wife to soar. Permit your wife to express herself. And you will see what God will do for you. As a wife, you also have fivefold ministry. Number one is submit. And when I talk about submission, it is not subjugation. You are not a slave. Submission is biblical. And it is not you becoming a doormat. Not at all. I'm heavy, you are heavy, but I allow you to be in charge. That's submission. Number two, serve. Serve. Serve your husband. A woman is at least five things to her husband. I don't have the time. You're not just his wife, you're his lover, you're his intercessor. You are the cook. Serve him. Don't compete with your husband. If not, your skirt will tear. Let him be. Validate him. Let him know that he's important. I call my husband my king. I call him his excellency. I call him darling. I call him your royal majesty. I honor him. Many times I'm singing for him. As he's waking up in the morning, he's hearing my voice. He shall me. Oh, Lord, look for me. Or am me a lion me. I will love you. And he's coming out from the third heavens. Who is singing? Oh, Lord, worry me. Oh, Lord, look for me. And the man is dancing. And I'm hailing him. Or am me a lion me. Why will he not allow me to go to Australia to go and preach? Validate him. Let your husband know that is important. It doesn't matter who I'm speaking with on the phone. When my husband steps in, I pause. Your royal majesty. Bye-bye. Let the man know that you are his fan. You cannot play table tennis with my husband and win. Except I'm not there. I will distract you. Igbo in Jesus' name. Oh, the man, no bishop, just get out. You just be laughing and he'll be winning. Yeah, and he'll be winning. I said, yes, he's champion. It's important for you. Bring joy to your marriage. Serve. Number three, support. Support. There are many Delilahs out there. Support your husband. Number four, seduce. Seduce. How can you be wearing the night wear that you inherited from your grandmother as a married woman? That's the one you are wearing. And when your husband is coming, you will still have this net, hair net on your head. And your rapper will be here. When pastor is coming, you quickly dress up. You don't make up in the house. You don't look good. You don't smell nicely. Everything is... Who is looking at me? You look like a panic-beating Volkswagen car. I say, I have four children. Who is looking at me? But when you are going out, you look nice.
Who is more important, the outsiders or your husband? Seduce is your husband. You are permitted. You're permitted to seduce him. Dress well. At 37, don't look 67. No man wants an old bride around him. Repackage. Let your husband look at you. Become unpredictable. Today it is maxi. Tomorrow it is long hair. Next tomorrow it is short one. Next one it is spaghetti and your shorts. You know, let the man be wondering. Because, oh, I don't have the time. Look, every man likes variety. Yes, every man likes variety. So, because the man is born again, he cannot go out. That is why you must be a different woman at different times. All this beret and tie scarf everywhere is not good. Your husband is sleeping with you, and yeah, my scarf, the jabo, scarf everywhere. It is religion. It's not spirituality. It's religion. Scarf. And your wife's sex life is like charcoal. You have to fan it of flame. That's why she needs foreplay and afterplay. You don't just have sex and then you abandon her. You light it, it's gone. It's important for you as a man to make sure that you take care of your wife. Because the life of a man can be departmentalized, but the life of a woman can't be. Everything about the woman is together. You shouted at her in the morning, she can't respond to you at night. My husband says if you want to have sex with your wife at 9 p.m., start preparing her at 6 a.m. It's important. When you finish having sex, making love to your wife, please thank her. It's not the time to say, you are sleeping. Thank her. She's given her body to you. And I beg you, thank God for HIV and AIDS. Don't have sex before marriage. Keep your dignity. Keep your life. Let your wedding night be a beautiful memory. And it shall be well with you in the name of Jesus. If you're not born again, give your life to Jesus. He's the one that can give you peace and joy in marriage. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace shall be well with you. Father, I thank you for these precious ones. May their light continue to go farther and further. Guide them, Lord. May they not miss it in marriage. I pray in the name of Jesus, every generational curse will not affect you. The hand that sustains the world, the hand that raised Jesus from the dead will preserve you. Amen. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light. So shall it be for you. You will not go down. No evil will befall you. I step into this church today and I decree, move up again. Amen. Move to the next level. In relationship, in marriage, in career, in destiny, in ministry, I decree progress. Amen. Let the grace of God upon my life work for you. In the name of Jesus, your soul will not go down. Amen. You will grow in grace. Amen. You will grow in favor. Amen. The Lord will do you good. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we've prayed. Amen.